to season 4 of the podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. If you've never listened to my podcast before, then welcome to you, and please hit that subscribe button. It's hugely beneficial to us podcasters. As many of you know, I wrote my autobiography as a survivor of human trafficking called Custom Justice, but if you didn't know, you do now. Keeping in line with that, this entire season has been focused on interviewing other people who did or plan to write about their own experiences as trauma survivors and how they overcame their past. As much as we all hate commercials, they are a necessary evil these days. That's what keeps the show on the air. You can also show support by purchasing one of my many books, or donating through PayPal, or leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. You can find the links for the books or donation options in the podcast description, of course, as well as the links to the guest. As of always, a portion of the proceeds from this podcast do go to local organizations that help fight human trafficking. Hey folks, welcome back to the show. As always, I'm your host, Amanda Blackwood. I have a fascinating guest with me right now on this very cold and wintry February 2nd day. It's Groundhog's Day. I have a young lady with me who's a wife, a mom. She's a Christian coach, an inspirational blogger. She is amazing. She's a digital product creator, an author, but she's got a lot more going on than all of that. These are just job titles. But let's find out who Miss Wendy Wallace really is. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you so much, Amanda. I'm excited to be here.
I love your story. I love your story of overcoming it. And I've been so excited to get a chance to talk to you. But before we jump into the whole story, where are you originally from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Ohio.
Ooh, what was that like?
Midwest. It was good. I mean, I was the oldest of 3 girls and we had fun. We just did what kids did and we had a really great family. But I didn't have any Christian upbringing.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Right. So it wasn't until I was an adult and met the man who I would eventually marry, where I was introduced to the Lord.
Very cool. So, and I have a feeling that's going to be a big part of the story here too. What happened to you to kind of alter your life and perspective and all of that stuff?
Well, I was a work-at-home mom. I had 3 kids, still do. But at the time this all went down, they were 13, 15, and 18. So it was 2011. And I was doing all the running around stuff that moms do with their kids. And I started to feel a little under the weather. And I thought that I was coming down with maybe the flu. But I had an unusual swelling on my leg. And so I didn't think much about the swelling. But I went to bed. My husband said, just go lay down and I'll take care of things. Couple days later, I was still not getting up out of bed. And I could barely even hold my head up. And so he says, come on, we better go to the hospital on this one. I was like, no, it's good. But we went to the hospital and in the process, we actually had to pull over and call an ambulance because I lost my oxygen and I couldn't breathe. The last thing I remember was them slapping an oxygen mask on my face. And I ended up being in a coma for 3 weeks. They had diagnosed me with that swelling was a flesh-eating bacteria called necrotizing fasciitis. And so throughout the coma, I don't even know how many surgeries I had, but it was multiple surgeries. They would go in and they would operate to remove this growth. But they never wanted to take too much. So they would go bit by bit by bit. And initially, doctors just told my family, you know, she's not going to make it. You better just prepare for this. We're doing the best we can, but it doesn't look good. And my husband told me, he said, you know, he told the doctor, you don't know my God and you don't know what he's capable of. So you go fix her and I'll take care of the spiritual side of things. And my family, our church, they rallied the troops. We had prayers from one part of the country to the other, because I had a home business and I had business partners all over the place, and word spread and the power of prayer just kicked in, and God looked down and said, you know what? She's not done yet. I need her to work for me. And he answered those prayers, but I had to have my hands and feet amputated in order to survive the whole ordeal.
And that was both hands, both feet.
Both hands, both feet. Yep.
My word.
Yep.
That must have been traumatic in itself.
Well, it was, and it was weird because, you know, here I was thinking, I just had a flu bug. But, you know, it was a medically induced coma. They woke me up to, I don't know, ask permission, which was weird because I didn't know what was going on anyway. What was I going to tell them? Well, of course. And I remember, which is weird because, you know, I was in the hospital for 3 months and very little of that do I remember very clearly, but I do remember them waking me up for a coma for 5 minutes. And I saw my husband and he was crying, and I looked down and I saw my arm, my hands, and they were black as charcoal. And the doctor said, you know, we can save your life and amputate, or you can say your goodbyes. And I'm like, well, that's a question. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, at least they didn't beat around the bush.
No. And truly, I don't think they had a whole lot of time either. So I just said, well, do what you have to do. I'm not ready to go yet. And so I went back to sleep. And when I woke up, there were bandages where my hands and feet had been.
Oh my gosh. What were you feeling in that moment?
You know, relatively calm, I would think. I don't remember any serious moments of panic. That came later. You know, and it wasn't really even panic. It was just a general sadness. You know, the kind of grief you go through with loss and that sort of thing.
Right.
But the other thing that I remember that is clear as day is praying. I needed God. I don't know how folks can go through traumatic events like this without him, but I knew that I needed him. And I just prayed it, my favorite scripture, which is Proverbs 3:5-6. I know you know what everybody does, but it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And I just said, Lord, it's you and me. I don't know how to do this. How am I going to be a mom, a wife? How am I going to do this? I can't do it without you. I'm going to need you. And I know that with your guidance that it's probably going to be okay.
Wow.
And it was sort of for a while. No, I should say for a while.
You say
it wasn't,
for a while.
But later it got better. Yeah.
Now the typical stages as they're described of loss, of grief, they are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Do you feel like you went through these in a linear order? Or did you bounce around like a rubber ball in a concrete room?
There were some I skipped entirely. The ones that I know most was sadness. I was never angry at God, which is an interesting question I get a lot. And, you know, the thing is I always understood. I've been a Christian for more than half my life. And I always understood that all things are done for our good and God's glory. And while I didn't understand why me having to lose all my body parts was for my good, I did understand that it was ultimately going to be fine. And so the anger part was never an issue. I was sad because I felt like I was incapable of doing anything ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't cook. I couldn't clean the house. I couldn't, you know, do laundry and mom things. And while I could talk at my kids, you know, like we do, we could talk to our kids and listen and do all those things. But it's the physical things, I think, that we feel more validation in, because it's something we can see.
Right.
And so somebody having that loss, I felt like I wasn't worthy anymore. Wow. But after a while, I got over that. And, you know, it was really just sadness for having to start over and learn how to feed myself and do all the things. And that part was really hard, but I had a really great support network in my family. They never once looked at me like I was misshapen or disabled in any way. And it was good. In fact, I found myself in a pity party for a few years just because I was trying to figure things out and I couldn't. I just, God, what is it you want me to learn from this? What am I supposed to do? And I did a lot of study and prayer, a lot of spiritual growth, but I still couldn't figure it out. And I had this whole, I can't do anything mindset. And one day my daughter, who this was a few years later, so she was about 20, 21 at the time. And she's like, Mom, we need to go tubing. I want to go down to the river. We're going to go tubing and you're coming. And I'm like, oh my goodness. What sense does this make to put a woman with no hands and feet in an inner tube and shove her down the river?
Make sure you're wearing a life vest, I suppose.
Exactly. And she's like, no, it's good. I won't let you down. We'll be fine. And so I was like, okay, what do I do with this one? And well, why not? She's not going to let me drown. So it ended up being the pivotal moment in this whole journey because, you know, growing up with the kids, can't was a four-letter word. You don't say that word here, but I used it all the time and I was not being the example that I wanted my kids to have. So we went on this tubing trip, just her and I, and it was great. It was one of the best days that I had had since the whole illness and amputation thing. And, you know, up until that point, everybody, I had so many comments like, you should write a book, you should write a blog, you should tell your story. I'm like, no. No, what would I say? I got nothing to say. And so we determined in that float, which ended up being like 3 hours that I thought it would never end. But I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can write about this. Because if I was stuck for so long, but I figured out that I don't have to be stuck. I really can do things. I'm way more capable than I was giving myself credit for. And so if I felt like that, I bet you there's other people who feel like that too. And so I started a blog like the next day and I called it One Exceptional Life. And that's what I have been doing.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I love that you started out with blogging because you did eventually also write something that is currently on Amazon. Right.
Yeah. You know, when you have a blog, you give away things so people will sign up to be on your email list. And I created this 5-day devotional. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was a quote or a scripture for each of the 5 days. And then I would write a devotional. This is, you know, like, let me give you an example. Yes, I can. That was the quote. I think it was even one of the very first ones. And I talked about, you know, you might not think that you can do what you do, but if you don't try it, you'll never know. And using the examples of my own life, I applied it to each of these scriptures or quotes. And then the 5 days was a success. So I thought, well, let's do 30. And that 30-day book turned into Victory Over Affliction, which is the book you're talking about on Amazon. It's a 30-day mindset challenge.
Wow. How do you feel like being able to write this helped you?
writing was healing for me. And my husband, God bless the man, he didn't waver in his support for me. And, you know, he would work 12 hours and come home and find me crying. And all he would say is, don't worry, you'll figure this out. And when I told him I was going to start writing, he was like, okay, good. Whatever makes you happy. And, you know, when you start a blog or a podcast, there's expenses. And so, okay, dear, I need to spend money on this and that and the other thing. And his answer was always, if it makes you happy, I don't care how much it costs.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, let's do this thing. So it was really healing for me because it gave me something to focus on besides what was wrong with me. And I used to go through a thing. Oh, gosh, now I can't even remember the name of it. But, you know, when you go through a traumatic event, but your body remembers that event every year.
Yes, trauma anniversaries.
Yeah. And so I used to go through that every year because I went to the hospital of April of 2011. And then 2 weeks prior to that was like the anniversary of my mom's death a few years before that. And so it was just a really depressing time of year. Of course, it was winter in New Hampshire, which doesn't help. And so I would get depressed and I wouldn't understand what was going on. Why is this happening to me? Well, every year at the same time, this is crazy. When I started writing, the next year, I looked at the calendar one day and it was April 5th, which is the day after my anniversary. And I was like, oh my gosh, I missed it. It's gone. And I have not had that ever since. Wow. Yeah, the anniversary effect. That's what.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? And
I go through that still to myself to this day. So in 2011, the exact same year, was the last time that I was ever trafficked. And I went there in January of 2011 and I got out in June of 2011. So wow. I still have that trauma anniversary every year in January. And then on certain key days between January and June. And the last couple of days leading up to my anniversary of freedom are really a struggle for me every year. And I forget this every year. So June 19th is my anniversary of freedom. So when June 19th of this year rolled around, I was celebrating, I was having a great day. But June 18th, just the day before, I was a mess and I had no idea why. Now, these trauma anniversaries are real things. I love that you've been able to conquer yours.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
I really think it has to do with distraction. You know, finding something that you are passionate about that you can focus on as you're going through that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some kind of a creative outlet was definitely hugely helpful for me. So,
yeah.
Painting, drawing. These things are monumental for helping us to process different things in our brain. Yeah. And how do you feel like your writing has improved since all of this happened?
Oh, monumental is a good word.
Well, I mean, as with all things, we get better with practice, right? And you're doing this right. A lot. It's right. Not like some blog that you're jumping up for years like mine has turned into. It's a regular thing.
Right. Well, it has slowed down because now I've pivoted into coaching because I'm meeting so many people who are going through struggles. And they have no hope of joy. And it just makes me so sad because those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have joy. It's a gift that he gives us. We just need to tap into that. And so that's where I have kind of pivoted into is helping women rediscover that joy and peace and fulfillment by being more intentional in their walk with the Lord. And it's just been a really amazing journey. I never, ever would have expected. You know, I was a network marketer and now I'm writing a blog and coaching women. So it's a fun journey. It's always interesting to me to see the paths that that the Lord just guides us on.
And speaking of, how did you find your faith? Since you didn't grow up in a Christian household, was this through your husband? Was this through your community?
You know, interestingly enough, I remember I always in finance and banking and mortgages and stuff. And there was a woman there who wanted to witness to me. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not interested. And it was probably a month later where I met Mike, my husband, and he was, want to date me, then I'm going to be in church on Sundays. If you want to be with me on the weekend, then you need to be in church. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And but you know what? I learned so much. I mean, I have eternal security and I have a fabulous family and a church family, and my kids are all followers of the Lord. And you know, I love it. It was just not what I've expected for my life when I was a kid growing up. You know, my folks were just like, yeah, be a good person. You'll go to heaven. It's all good. And that was my extent of my religious upbringing. And later I found out, well, that's not the truth. And so he gave me the truth and has been the spiritual head of our household ever since.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. My husband was the one of the audio engineers for what is now our church when he and I first met. And I had been floating around looking for the right home, looking for the right church since my favorite pastor had retired. And he introduced me to our church and I knew that I had found home.
Yep.
And not just within the church, but with the man, with my husband.
Oh, I love that. Well, it's funny because, you know, I ended up in California, which is where I was going to school. And that's where I met him. He was in the military. But eventually we found our way back to New Hampshire, which is where he grew up. And we were able to raise our children in his church that he was in as a child. So we've come full country, full circle.
Wow, that is very cool. So what are your plans for the future? Have you got other things that you're planning on accomplishing and tackling coming up?
Actually, I am planning a virtual event, which right now I'm in the early stages, but it's something that I'd like to, once I learn how to put the whole thing together, I'm sure it's going to be something that I will do quarterly, maybe biannually. So
that's fantastic.
Just as a way to get a bunch of speakers together and talk about healing and overcoming and joy and peace and getting out of the pity party or off the hamster wheel of those times in our lives that we just get stuck and we don't know how to get out.
Well, Wendy, when that happens, I'd like to volunteer to be a speaker.
Oh,
that's
yay.
Something I would love to get involved in. That awesome. Is so cool. That is amazing. And where would people go to find more information about your events and your coaching?
Well, my website is oneexceptionallife.com. It's the word one, O-N-E. And really everything is on there. I'm also on Facebook. And I have a One Exceptional Life Facebook page also.
And I'm going to, of course, make sure that I have all the links and everything in the show notes. So when people are looking for it, it's easy to find. They can just click on those links and go directly over to your Facebook page, your website, and to your Facebook group, mm-hmm. Living with Joy.
Women Living Exceptionally with Joy and Jesus.
I love it. You know, I'm going to be a part of that.
Yep, come on over.
So do you feel like you have always been an introvert or an extrovert in your life? And do you feel like that has changed based on what you've gone through?
I am still an introvert. And you know what? If it weren't for this little box I've got on my table, probably wouldn't be talking to as many people. Because you know, I love that we can hide behind the computer.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Isn't it a beautiful thing?
I know. Although I would like to speak on stage one day. I don't know how or logistically all that stuff, but it is kind of a bucket list item I have.
Well, as somebody who does it fairly regularly, I will tell you that your message would be so well received on stage. People would love to hear you speak. And it does not require you to ever be an extrovert because all those people are separate from you. And it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, cool.
It's really nice. But one of the key things that I will give you for kind of a little bit of advice on how to get through it is to turn your anxiety into excitement. Now, they're very similar feelings. When you're getting ready to go up on stage, you start feeling this heart pounding, rushing. You're afraid. You think that, you know, it's not so much the public speaking that we're afraid of. It's the we're going to make ourselves look like idiots that we're afraid of. And once we can move past that and go into I'm excited to do this, that fear dissipates. We don't focus on it anymore. And we are so much better at delivering our keynote speak.
Awesome. Sounds fun, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's a blast. I love doing it. It's one of the things I absolutely live for.
Oh, well, so cool. Well, that couple of years, I don't know, maybe not that far in the future, but.
Somehow I think you got this. It won't be long. I think you're on your way. You're getting some practice right now with doing podcasts.
Exactly.
So how do you celebrate your wins in life? When something goes your way, when you're having an exceptional time, when you do something, when you accomplish something new?
Ice cream.
Me too, girl. Yes. Do you have a favorite flavor?
I'm kind of one of those people that likes ice cream with stuff in it.
Oh my gosh, me too. Salted caramel cluster or mint chocolate chip with cookies in it.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Exactly. And so, well, you know, it's funny. I've never been asked that question before, but yeah, I mean, when we usually go out and celebrate, it's for ice cream.
I think that's awesome. That's very cool. My husband is allergic to whey, so we have to go with the non-dairy options. And I have an ice cream maker here in the house, and I can make some of the most amazing fresh strawberry ice cream now.
Oh, I've learned. That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And with a homemade caramel sauce swirled in it.
Ooh, I'm coming over.
So, Wendy, there's always one last question that I ask people before I let them go. It is absolutely my favorite question, and it usually makes people think for a second. What is one thing that you love about yourself that's not related to your physical appearance?
You know, I'm an encourager. I really love it that I can lift people's spirits, even sometimes with just a couple of words. And I don't know why I got this gift, but I think it's a beautiful gift. And there's just something about even a text or a phone call. And I love that the Lord prompts us to do these things just when they're needed the most by the recipient.
Yeah. If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. There you'll find links on how you can learn more about this guest, links to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted. I can say that. I work for myself. In short, this show really is all about the guest.
If you've enjoyed their interview, please feel free to let them know. You can also tune in to my other podcast, Growth from Darkness, which is co-hosted by a lovely lady from Australia. We talk about what trauma responses are and healthy ways to move beyond the past. For more information, just go to growthfromdarkness.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/growthfromdarkness.